On the 40th day after the resurrection, Christ ascended into heaven. Where is he? Well, the scripture says at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Now, God the Father has no right hand nor left. He's a pure spirit. These words are figurative. It's a figure of speech. The person who sits on your right hand is considered to occupy the most honourable place. And being seated there means they're in possession of the royal and supreme power equal to God the Father. Now, how did Jesus ascend? Well, he went up into the clouds, but by his own power. The scriptures talk about others being taken up into heaven. In the Old Testament, there was Elijah, who was carried up into heaven in a fiery chariot. I'd like to see that. And of course, our Lady Mary was assumed into heaven. But both of them were taken by God's power. Our Lord ascended, being God and man, by his own power. The next question is, why did he ascend into heaven after 40 days only? Why not stay a few years? There are four reasons why. The first is that he ascended because mission accomplished. He came as our Redeemer. He died upon the cross and is now risen with a glorious body. And that body warranted a place now of glory, heaven. Two, he ascended to heaven to possess the kingdom which he had merited by his blood. Three, he ascended to prove that his kingdom is not of this world. Our kingdoms, countries, nations are earthly and therefore transient. They come and go. Whereas his kingdom in heaven, which we await, remains forever. And the last reason, which is my favourite reason, the fourth, is very personal. He ascended into heaven so that we would want to follow him and has gone there to prepare our place. And it's a personal place. And more, not so much a place, but a space in heaven, which does exist, is awaiting us as he is. We ought to desire heaven. The bottom line of today's Feast of the Ascension is a lifting up of our hearts, which is one of the prayers we say before the Holy Holy. Lift up our hearts. To where? To heaven. Heaven is not fat cherubs floating on clouds playing harps. I have a quote here from one of my favourite authors, C.S. Lewis, Christian apologist, who said, "All the scriptural imagery regarding heaven, that's harps, crowns, gold, is of course merely symbolic, an attempt to express the inexpressible. Musical instruments are mentioned because for many people, music is the thing known in this present life which most strongly suggests ecstasy and infinity. It's also something about the soul, isn't it? Music speaks to the soul in a way words can't." Crowns are mentioned, said C.S. Lewis, to suggest the fact that those who are united with God in eternity share his splendour and power and joy. Gold is mentioned to suggest the timelessness of heaven. See, gold doesn't rust, as does the Holden car, and the preciousness of it. So they're all symbolic ways we grasp a reality which we can't really get our arms around. But we must foster that hope, a hope to see Jesus, to be with God, and heaven. Hope is one of the three theological virtues that we receive at baptism. It's God-focused, and this does not reside in the intellect, as does faith, but rather in the will. And it has to be exercised. Like muscles in the body need movement, lest they wither, so too hope can wither. And if it's lost, it's a tragedy. And too many people have lost what little hope they had. And then they fall into either despair, darkness, or presumption, arrogance. Both are to be avoided. And therefore, we ought to be hope-filled on this Ascension Sunday. And think about heaven, that reality which our hearts desire. We have a desire for utter perfection, intimacy, ecstasy, yet you won't get it here. It doesn't belong here, but there. So we need examples of hope to inspire us. And one example is Elizabeth, Pauline Elizabeth Lisieux, who is a servant of God, more than likely in heaven as I speak. She was born of the aristocracy of Paris in France last century. She was most affluent and married a very rich man who was also a medical doctor called Felix. I like the name Felix. It's Latin for happy. And he was a very lapsed Catholic. She wasn't too bad. Anyway, they married, and because of her poor health, she had intestinal problems, liver problems. She might be able to be helped today, but back then there wasn't much hope. And they remained childless there, but they spent most of their time in the social life of Paris, wining and dining and meeting the right people and being in the right place with theatre and so forth. Then at the age of 32, Elizabeth, I don't know what happened, but she had a conversion and became full-on committed Catholic. And with that, took up a prayer life using Lectio Divina. She prayed the scriptures, frequented the sacraments, daily mass when possible, rosary, and also the works of mercy. Being wealthy, she could provide for the poor, the sick. She looked after those who were homeless and destitute. And all the time, her husband was becoming more and more difficult. Why? Well, he'd become an atheist, found religion just beyond him. He couldn't cope with his wife's sudden change of heart, and he was starting to put obstacles in her life. He was preventing her from going to mass, making fun of her religious beliefs at gatherings and social nights. So things weren't happy at home. In a way, she wasn't physically abused, but certainly emotionally traumatized and spiritually deprived. And today, perhaps she would have been thinking about leaving him, but she didn't. Why? Because deep in her prayer, God said, "Don't give up hope on Felix. He's also my child. Pray for him." Now, she had terrible illnesses. She offered all her suffering for Felix's conversion. On one occasion, God told her in her prayer that at a period in the future, your husband will convert and then even become a priest. She wrote all that down. She kept a journal. So some people love journals. Anyway, she kept a journal of all these things that were happening in her life. And eventually she picked up, well, sadly, breast cancer. And back then they couldn't do much about that. And after about a year of suffering, there was metastasis and it spread throughout her body. And she died in May in her 40s. Her husband was bereft. After the funeral, he became more embittered towards God. And then cleaning up, he found her diary, her journal, and read it, and became angry at that section about himself converting and becoming even a priest. And being wealthy, he thought, well, I'm going to fix this. And he travelled to Lourdes, being a specialist, a doctor. He wanted to go there to disprove and make fun of the miracles at Lourdes. God doesn't exist. Mary's just a fake. These things can't happen. But the miracles at Lourdes are so well documented that he himself was amazed that these things are rather inexplicable, beyond science. And there at the grotto one night, he too, like his wife, had a conversion. He found God again, returned to the sacraments, and came back to Paris. Spent some more years working, then eventually entered the seminary, studied to become a Dominican priest, and 9 years after the death of his wife, was ordained a priest. So much for the superstition of religion. He himself had felt the effects of God's grace in his life and was converted. He would then give retreats as a Dominican priest and would say things like, "My wife would say this." And people would say, "Your wife?" He had such devotion to her that he promoted her cause and her beatification process. In 1934, it all began to take root within the church of what he did. At the bottom of this story about Elizabeth and Felix is the message of hope. She never gave up. She hoped against hope. Her prayers were heard not in this life, but in the next. The answer came after. So never lose heart, never lose hope. God hears your prayers. When and how he answers them remains a mystery that one day will be unveiled. Meanwhile, we look towards heaven, we have hope, knowing that he has prepared our place.